Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. They asked if I wanted somebody to carry this out for me, and I said, no, I like looking like a working man. I don't want to just kind of stand there. Yeah, you move that for me. You know, it feels weird. So, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Welcome to Stony Creek Church. Hey, I need to begin with a confession. Ken, who was just leading us in praise, he and I tricked you, church. These last 3 weeks, while Randy was taking a few weeks off from preaching, his preaching responsibilities, and these last 2 weeks, he's had a couple of weeks of vacation with his family, and he's coming back, Lord willing, rested and ready to jump back into his preaching role here next Sunday. We're looking forward to a new series he's going to be kicking off. But while he was away, Ken and I snuck in a three-part series without you knowing it. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Now, we didn't bring attention to it with a cool graphic or a special cover printing on the program, but this three-part series, actually, somebody told me in between services, four-part series. The treachery goes even deeper. This has been going on sneakily right before your eyes. What am I talking about? Well, we have been talking about missions for really a month now. We had, so 4 weeks ago, we had our missionary Aaron Wentz come in and share with you some lessons he learned in his decades of ministry on the mission field. And then 2 weeks ago, we got to hear from those here at Stony that went on the mission trip to Brazil. They told some of their stories from serving and visiting with our brothers and sisters, a chain of love. And I shared about global missions and how we truly are connected with Christians all around the world. They're our brothers and sisters. We really are a worldwide family. Then last week, Ken, he was up here with the students. It was Student Sunday, and they were telling you about their mission trip to Louisville. We heard stories there. Ken spoke about local missions, and he taught about how being a Jesus follower means being a servant leader. Those things are synonymous with one another. Jesus calls all his followers to be servants and to be leaders, to lead people through acts of service and humility to know and follow Jesus. And today, our message is entitled, My Mission Field. So we went global, we came local, and now we're going right into our own lives here this morning. We're going to study the Great Commission. This is Jesus' marching orders to his whole church. That includes you and me. And we'll note how each one of us is called to be a part of God's advancing kingdom. You see, this world is full, just chock full of things that can distract us from what's most important. It's very easy to not focus on what's most urgent and what's most important and just fill our lives with all kinds of distractions, good things and bad things alike, that keep us from what's most important. And so what we're going to look at today, there on your outline, you want to get it out of the program, is three reasons to be mission-minded every single day. All right, three reasons. These are good reminders for us. If you're not hearing them for the first time, sometimes we need to be snapped back. Our memories need to be triggered. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be about this mission. And so maybe that's what it is for a lot of us today too. The first reason to be mission-minded every day, there on your outline, is because God loves all people. God loves all people. We're going to look first at the letter of 2 Peter, and the Apostle Peter here, he's writing to a group of Christians who are wrestling with the fact that Jesus hasn't returned in power and great glory yet. Jesus said he would be back after his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. He said, I'm going to be back. I will return. And he's going to be the judge of the earth, and he's going to set all things right. And these people were wondering, why hasn't that happened yet? And that was 2,000 years ago. So maybe you are wondering, yeah, kind of the same thing. Why hasn't Jesus returned just yet? Well, Peter writes to these Christians and he gives an answer. And when he does it, he's lifting up the curtain for us to look at a very important spiritual truth about the time between when he's writing this and when Jesus returns. And you can help me out when we get to yellow print in the scripture here. But Peter writes it this way. He says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So our Heavenly Father is graciously working to see every single person who would come to repentance and trust in Jesus to do so. That's what's going on between now and this time. He loves all people. He wants all people to have their shot. Christian, how thankful are you that you belong to Jesus? Think about that. How thankful are you that you belong to Jesus? I'll never get over it. I've been a Christian for 27 years, not as long as some of you, but a lot longer than some of you. 27 years, and I still am blown away every day. I remember when I first realized that my sin separated me from my holy Creator, that sin damned me to a not just a life here on earth separated from him, but to an eternity in hell. It was a crisis moment for me. And I remember it was the youth pastor here back then who brought me through the scriptures, and he taught me what Jesus did for me, that he died on the cross as we were singing in these three songs, every one of them focused on what Jesus did for us, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And he arose from the dead, proving that he's God Almighty and that he beat death for everyone who trusts in him. When I first heard that, I grabbed onto Jesus with everything I had, and I didn't look back. 27 years ago, I was 18 months old. No, that's not true. I was a senior in high school. I just didn't want anybody doing the math. But now it's too late. You figured it out. You figured out my code. Oh, man, I've never looked back. If God did nothing else for me, and boy, has he done infinitely beyond that for me, but if he had never done anything else, I would never get over what Jesus did for me and how much he loves me to do that. But here's the thing. God loves my neighbor. God loves my family member who's not a believer just as much as he loves me. Just as he wanted to reach into my life and pluck me out of heading to hell and giving me new life in Christ, he wants to do that for my loved one. Jesus said it like this in the Gospel of John. He said, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Why should we be mission-minded every day? Because the same God who loves and saved us loves all people and wants to save everybody who will come to him. And he will save everybody who will come to him. We need to pray for God to break our hearts for lost people. We need to pray for us to be ruined emotionally when we think about the fact that there are people in our lives going to hell right now if nothing is done. We need to pray for God to fill us up with his love for people, because I know sharing our faith can be intimidating. We can be worried, oh, it's going to make the conversation awkward if I bring up Jesus with my cousin or with my neighbor, or maybe it'll be even worse and they'll just outright reject me, And, of course, they don't reject us. They're rejecting Jesus if that happens. But still, that can be intimidating. But if we really do pray for God to break our hearts and to fill us up with his love, that love will overcome that fear of rejection, that fear of, you know, it not working out the way we think it ought to work out. And we'll just open up our mouths and do it. So ask for that same love. God loves all people. The second reason to be mission-minded that you want to write down is because Jesus commands us to reach out. I mean, really, it's as simple as that. A Christian is a Christ follower, a Jesus follower. Jesus did it, we're going to follow his example. Jesus said it, we're going to obey his command. It really is a very simple calculation. And Jesus commanded us to get out there and offer this eternal hope that we have to others. This is the Great Commission. We read it a lot here at Stony Creek Church, all right? Because that's why we're here. And so we keep coming back. We keep circling back to this Great Commission, and we will again. It says, or it reads rather, Jesus came to them. This is his disciples after he had risen from the dead. All right, he proved everything he's about to say. And he said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Christian, this is what our life is about here on earth until we die or the Lord calls us home. These are the marching orders. The rest of the Bible teaches us how to do it properly and keep this growing relationship with our Lord and keep sharing it with others. But here it is, summed up, our marching orders if you belong to Jesus. The Christian life isn't just about behaving ourselves. The Christian life isn't just about sharing similar moral or political views or philosophy. First and foremost, the Christian life is about having that life-giving relationship with our Creator and sharing Him with others. That's it. Making more and better followers of Jesus. That's our church's mission statement, but we word it like that, but that's really the mission of every single Jesus follower, to make more and better followers of Jesus, be a part of his advancing kingdom, with Jesus as our commander. It's not a kingdom that advances with military might. It's not a kingdom that advances with a political agenda. God's kingdom advances in the heart and the life of every person who becomes a Jesus follower. That's how the kingdom advances. As I trusted in Christ, the kingdom advanced into my life. And as I grow to become a better follower of Jesus, the kingdom grows and advances in me and spreads to others from what Jesus is doing in my life. At Stony, we call it the four C's. That's kind of how we map out this growth process. We talk about this a lot. It's there right when you walk in the door. We wanted it to be four of the first words you see at Stony, because it's how we see the kingdom advanced in our lives and in our community and beyond. The four C's, they stand for coming to Christ. And that's the first step. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Coming to Christ is when a person trusts in Jesus as his or her Lord and Savior. The kingdom has now gotten a stronghold in that person's life, and that flag that's been planted in their heart never gets knocked down. The kingdom just grows from there on. So this is the making more followers of Jesus. And then we go on to connect with Christian living. This is where we're continuing to see the kingdom advance in our lives. Jesus began to talk about this by talking about baptism. He said, baptizing them, that's the people that have become disciples, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A person connects by getting baptized, by learning to plug in with God in Bible study and in prayer, to invest in that relationship, and to plug in with brothers and sisters in Christ, going to church, getting in a small group, things like this. As a person continues to grow and the kingdom continues to advance in their life, the person will take the next step, which is to become committed to Christ's body, the church. Jesus said this. He didn't say just make these disciples converts and leave them alone. No, he said make more and better. He goes on and he says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. When we commit to meet together, to be a part of this local church together, we're encouraging one another on in our relationship with Christ to grow for him. One of the ways we show our commitment to this church is through membership. That involves committing to a serving team and committing to give and committing to be a part of this branch of the kingdom here in Utica and beyond. And then finally, this is, you know, through these processes, we start seeing the kingdom advance into other people's lives through us when we go on to coach other Christians. This is when we're starting to pour into other people. See, up until now, we were the ones coming to Christ and connecting with Christian living and committing to Christ's body. We were the ones receiving that and growing. But then we become what I like to call the sent ones. We go on to coach others. That's these two little letters right here. This little word go. Now we're the one doing this for other people as we're growing and the kingdom is continuing to advance. That's how our church as a whole works on the Great Commission. Where do you find yourself on these four C's here? And what's the next thing? What's the next step for you? How will the kingdom advance in your life? Maybe today is the day you will finally surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I spoke with a person after the first service who said they were not ready just yet, but that, you know, what was shared was rattling around and they're thinking about it, and I'm praying for that person. I told them this, that I'm praying for them, and so I will. I'm not going to lie about that. I'm going to be praying for them to continue, but I was glad that that person is thinking, is this the next step? Today for you, maybe you know, I've made the decision, I need to surrender my life to Christ. I pray you do it today. You could come down after the service and talk with a member of our pastoral prayer team. They'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Throw yourself on Christ like I did almost 3 decades ago. Cross over from death to life today. Maybe you've done that, but you know somebody in your life, God is calling you to share the gospel with that person, to help that person come to Christ. Will you do that this week? Will you commit now before the Lord to do that this week? We'll talk more about that as we go on in the sermon. But maybe you're like, yeah, I've done that. Now it's time for me to get connected. You know, I've trusted in Jesus, but I haven't been baptized. That's the next thing Jesus tells people to do after they trust in Christ. Get baptized. Show the world I belong to Jesus. And we've actually got a baptism class coming up. You can check it out and you know, read about it here in the description and sign up if you'd like if you click classes at my.stonycreek.church. This is a real practical way. I like being practical in my messages. All right, I'm looking to connect. Well, here you go. First step. Maybe you're looking to commit. You're like, all right, that's it. It's time for me to commit to this local body. I'd like to become a member. Well, similar to the baptism class, we also have a membership class coming up in the fall. And it's a special opportunity. You can be a guinea pig because we're going to try something new and see if it works really well or doesn't work very well at all. Normally, this is a 5-week class. Many times we'll have it on Sunday morning at the first service, so you can attend the class each morning and then still come to church, you know, for the main service at 11:30. But that goes on for 5 weeks, and that can be kind of hard. People are like, oh, I got a work trip or whatever. Put in there. So what we're going to do is try to offer it for one day seminar, 6 hours on a Saturday this fall. And so this is your chance to just bing, bang, boom, get that in there and do it. And so I invite you to consider doing that if that's the next step for you. And you can still go to my.stonycreek.church and click classes and check that. Okay, there's all the fine print that I gave out to you, rattled off. This could be one of the ways that God is calling you to take your next step. Or maybe God has been maturing you. You've been growing and benefiting from walking in a relationship with him. It's time to see the kingdom advance as you pour into somebody else, to coach other Christians. There's many ways we do this. Of course, parents do this with children as they raise them in the Lord. Small group leaders and hosts do this as they have people welcomed into their house and they're leading through Bible studies. People do this in ministry as ministry team leaders. There's lots of ways to coach people. But one way that we give some direction on is our coaching guide. And this is for people who want to get together one-on-one, set a spiritual goal for growing in Christ, and check up and encourage one another in those goals to grow. And this is just a great, I've done this with so many guys over the last decade or so, and I've benefited because I always set a goal too. I want it to go both ways, and we encourage one another, sharpen each other. If you're interested in that, you could, on your connection card, give me your email address. Say, I want that coaching thing, and I'll email it to you, and you can pray about who you might pour your life into and see the kingdom advance. The bottom line, though, of all this, there's like a million options, all right? Did I give a million? Here's another one. No, I'm kidding. That's enough. The bottom line is that Jesus is commanding you to be a part of his advancing kingdom. Jesus is commanding you, not just pastors, not just the church in general, but you to be fulfilling the Great Commission. And so where are you at? Where do you need to go next to see the kingdom advance in your life? The final reason that we'll look at today anyway for being mission-minded. So that should be enough. God loves all people. And so why don't you do what God loves and wants? He wants all people to come to him. Jesus told you to do it. Honestly, I could have just said that and walked off the stage, right? If we all agree we should be following Jesus. But this third reason is it gives us some perspective, and it's because you're still here. You're still here on earth. This is the third reason. At the very close of the Bible, right in just the last few verses of Revelation, at the close of the Bible, after reading many prophecies through Revelation about how Jesus will be fully revealed as the King of the universe and how he will judge the world and set everything right. What those people back in 2 Peter were longing for, Revelation describes that it is going to happen. And then after that, it reads about what is going on between now and when that comes into fruition. In Revelation 22:17, it reads, this is what John writes. He writes, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." The Spirit here is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And what is he doing in the world between now and when Jesus comes back? Well, one of the big things is calling people to come to Christ to receive life. But it isn't just him. It says the Spirit and the bride. That's Christ's bride, the church. That's you. And me. That's what we're to be doing until Jesus returns. Now, you know, this, of course, this is a beautiful world. My wife and I enjoy traveling. If you are Facebook friends, you know that. You've seen pictures and things. We love seeing God's beautiful world together. It is a beautiful place. But we also know that this is a fallen world. It's filled with pain and suffering and war and stresses and hate, and the bad list goes on, but I'll leave it alone for now. And even the good things that are here, even the things that we really enjoy here on earth, they're just a shadow of the greatness of heaven and what we get to experience when we're face to face with our God. And so the question is, why doesn't God just, when we trust in Jesus, just pluck us out of the earth? Just pull us up to heaven then, bloop. Why be here with the cancers and the wildfires? And okay, I said I wouldn't keep going with the list. I apologize. I got into another bad bummer list. Why doesn't he do that? Well, for one thing, the main thing is he's continuing to grow us in this time, right? We're continuing to be built into the person God wants us to be between now and the time we die or Jesus returns. That's a huge part of it, and it involves even the trials and the tough things. So there's still purpose in this life. But more to today's point, we're planted here, it's included in that, we're planted here to share the good news about Jesus so that God's kingdom will advance on the earth. That's why we're still here and haven't been plucked out of the earth. This truth should give us perspective that if we have air in our lungs, we've got a mission from our God until he calls us home or returns. That should give us perspective every single day to be mission-minded. That we should be going out and just calling out, like it said there in Revelation, come and receive the forgiveness that you can get in Christ and only in Christ, the reconciliation that you can only get from Christ, the peace, the wholeness, the real life. We should be going out and screaming out, come, with our lives. Our main idea today is this. Make our most urgent message your top priority. Make our most urgent message your top priority with as every breath you've got left between now and eternity. For our remaining time today, I like to be practical. We're going to look at how to be equipped to do this, some things we can all do. And I hope you'll take it seriously. I hope you'll really say, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do this week. This is what I'm going to get on this week. How we can be better prepared to make that most urgent message our top priority. And the first thing you want to write down, I know I'm giving you a lot to write today. It's starting to look a lot like a Randy outline here with all these fill in the blanks. The first thing you want to write down is to prepare to share your testimony and the gospel. Several places in the New Testament tell us to be equipped, to be prepared, to share the good news about Jesus and the reason we have that hope, what he's done for us specifically. Now, actually, out on the welcome at the Welcome Center, I've got printed a whole stack. If they're still there, I see there's some still there from the first service, so that's good. Good news for you guys, but I hope they're all gone after you guys exit, okay? Because you're so interested in taking this next step. Out there printed in the lobby is our testimony prep sheets. We give these out to people like when we have a baptism. People share their testimony and we record those on video. And this helps them organize that story of what Jesus did for the person. We've used them for other reasons though too. They're good for anybody. We use them before our Brazil mission trip. Everybody going on the mission trip, we worked through it together because we wanted to be equipped the opportunity came up to share while we were in Brazil what God has done for us. And any of us that are looking to just get better and clearer and quicker and conciser, that might not be a word, at sharing our story, it's good for us. So check out that sheet, but I'm going to give you the rapid fire three act steps for sharing your testimony. I call it before, during, and after. It's pretty easy to remember that way if you think of it as before, during, and after. So before, when you're sharing with somebody about what God did for you, you could briefly, and I mean briefly, share some significant highlights of your life before Jesus. What did your life revolve around most? What were you putting your hope or security or happiness in? Maybe you might share how that was starting to let you down, whatever that was. And I got a little pro tip with this step because I've seen, and I've done it myself in my earlier days. Little pro tip, don't glorify your past life without Jesus, all right, or brag about your sin. Sometimes people they'll spin off like, yeah, man, I was so bad and tough and just had all these girls or whatever, I don't know, you know. And it's like, is this the bad part of your life that you're glad you're over with? Or are you like longing to return to the vomit? Okay, anyway, so be careful with that, okay? Of course, sin is alluring, but you don't get allured while you're trying to share your testimony. Okay. You think you look cool, you don't. Number two is the during part. This is when Jesus is drawing you in. You share significant highlights about how the Spirit drew you to Jesus. And when I was being drawn to the Lord, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that was the Holy Spirit drawing me. I didn't know it yet. But now looking back as a Christian, I see how, oh man, God was putting that person in my life. Oh, and this person over here that had nothing to do with the youth group, but that I worked with at McDonald's. And, the, you know, I could see how God was orchestrating and drawing me, putting thoughts in my head as I was on my pillow at the end of the day, and things like this. And so you can share that kind of stuff and make sure when you're sharing how you are being drawn to the Lord, share the actual gospel in there. This is your chance. If somebody's listening to you tell your story, don't waste the time. Let them hear the gospel that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins and arose from the dead. And share what you did to receive that gift from God, that I trusted in Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Be real clear as you're sharing your story so the person can start thinking how they might do the same thing. And then there's the after part, which is sharing significant highlights of your life after you've submitted to Christ. How does your life look different? Maybe in your thoughts, in your actions, in your words, at work, at school, in your family. Share those things. And then, whew, the whole thing could almost be wasted if you don't take this pro tip. After you, if somebody has sat down and listened to you share that whole story, do not say, okay, see ya. No, no, no. Give them a chance to be like you, to trust in Jesus too. All right? Don't pull that punch. If somebody has listened to you, the Spirit is working on that person. Maybe you've shared some scripture with them along the way that impacted you. The Spirit is working on that person if they didn't figure out a way to get out of that conversation, okay? And so don't pull that last punch. Would you like to trust in Christ like I did? And leave them with that decision. Sometimes people aren't ready yet, and that's okay, but boy, did you give them a lot for the Spirit to rattle around in their heart and mind when they are laying down on the pillow at night. That's it in a nutshell. Pretty big nutshell, but a nutshell. And you can get the sheet out there for a little extra information, and some helpful scripture texts are on that printout. I hope those are all gone. I hope that the church takes that seriously. The second way to get equipped is to practice outreach with your church family. We've got lots of different ways that we reach out together as a church. We've got the Reach for the Streets, those door-to-door days where we all meet here for prayer. It's the third Saturday of almost every month. There's one this month on the 19th. And we meet in the Student Center for prayer. When you start seeing on Facebook or email or Randy talking about it next Sunday, plan to come out. Meet us there at 10 o'clock. And we go out to a few doors. Nobody does more than, I think, maybe 10 doors, but we literally knock on doors and say, hey, I'm from Stony, and we're out here just meeting our neighbors, seeing if we can pray for you for anything. We'd love to give you this. We've got these brochures that have some upcoming events, and the gospel is printed on the back, and you might talk with somebody, you might pray with somebody, but it stretches our outreach muscles, so it's worth getting involved in that. You know about seed planters. We talk about it a lot. This is at Sterling Estates. There's a group that goes out there to share some food and some other needed helpful items, maybe hygiene supplies, things like this, just to be a good neighbor in that community. And also the gospel is shared. There's a Bible study and some prayer time there. If you're interested, you might talk, if you already know, like Emma Reynolds or Selah Russell or Guy Alexander, you might talk to one of these guys and say, hey, I wouldn't mind coming out once in a while. Or you could use your connection card, and I'll tell you where to go and how to get connected with them. There's also, of course, needed items drives and things that come up. I encourage you to participate in that. You know, it's just a way to a little bit, but everybody kind of helps out. Like, I think there's the blessing box. Is there a blessing box flyer, drive flyer in your, somebody wave it around for me to prove it. You all said yes, but I don't believe you. Okay, there it is. All right, you've got them. Good. Yeah, consider doing that. It's not a big deal. Well, for each of us, it might not be a big deal, but we all bring in some needed items to put out in our blessing box, and that really does reach out to our community. And there'll be other opportunities that come down the road. We're going to do a back-to-school items drive and fill some backpacks later in the summer, but I won't get into the details now. I'll get into those in a little bit, but watch for those things. And one last thing before I move on to my final part here is get some of these Join Me at Stony Creek Church cards at the Welcome Center when you're leaving today, and just when you're out in the world talking with people, invite them to church. We share the gospel every Sunday morning, at least twice, all right, in the two services. And so, you know, we should be encouraged and excited to invite people to come to church and hear that life-saving gospel message. I know people that leave them with, like, their tip in the restaurant. The only thing about that, if you're a cheapskate, this step isn't for you. All right? I don't want the name of Stony Creek Church associated with cheapskates. So if you're a generous tipper and you were kind to your server and all of these things, you exemplified the Christian life at a restaurant, then please, by all means, leave the invite. All right, last couple things here. The third way that we can get equipped, and we cannot forget this, is to pray. Pray for the field and for yourself. I keep a list in my Bible and in my wallet. I've got a second one in my... You better have it in there, Chris. Okay, good. It's like, what if I don't have it? Then that'd be really embarrassing. Okay, I'm not going to turn it around, just in case somebody zooms in and they're like, why is my name not on that list? But this, now I'll do it. This is a list of loved ones in my life that, as far as I know, have not trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I've set a day of the week, every week, where I'm going to pray through this list, and it makes me think about the encounters I might have with them over the next week or month or so, and to take advantage of those for the kingdom. I also pray for myself. You need to pray for yourself. Jesus said, pray for more workers to come out, because the harvest is plentiful. We just need people that'll go out and do the work. And so pray for yourself to have boldness to share your faith, to look for and to seize those opportunities that God will give you. All right? God will give you opportunities to share your faith. And finally, the last thing, prioritize your mission in every relationship. We live in a world just full of, as we started, with so many distractions. And it's easy, even though we preach about sharing the gospel a lot here at this church, it's easy by the end of this week to have already forgotten that that's our most urgent mission, and to just sink into the regular stuff, the vacation planning and the back to school planning and the, you know, what I got to do at my job at my work week and these kinds of things. At the end of the day, before you are your profession, you are a Christian. That's a little blurred with me, I guess, but for most people, even before your profession, you're a Christian. Even before your citizenship, you're a Christian. And so in every relationship, be mission-minded. Make our most urgent message your top priority. We're going to end our service with a closing song. And I happen to know that it's a get pumped up about going out and serving this great God type song. And so I encourage you to stand with me. And we're going to get pumped up as we worship our God and see him glorified. But first, let's pray. Let's pray. We're going to dedicate our offering. And I pray that you'll join me in the commitment to renew our mission focus in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that he broke into our time and space and rescued us from our sin. He is the life raft. He is the helicopter coming down into the ocean while we're drowning, but we need to grab onto him to be saved. We don't fall into salvation. We need to grab onto Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I do pray if there's somebody who needs to do it today, that that person would. They grab onto Jesus and be saved. And God, I pray that every one of us who has done that, out of thanksgiving, out of a love and appreciation for you, and a love for lost people, that we would go out and share the good news about the life raft, about the helicopter, about Jesus. God, show us what we need to do next in our mission here this week. And Lord, we do give you this offering. We dedicate it to you as an act of worship and thanksgiving, and pray that every penny would be used to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.